Teaching Learning Leading K-12 is a proud member of the Education Podcast Network. Podcasts for educators, podcasts by educators. Hey, welcome back. Today I'm talking with Del Johnson of Infinity Systems. Their teams work with school districts and other organizations to align along 9 critical elements to achieve success. In essence, they get everyone going in the same direction. Glad you're here. Thanks for listening. Enjoy.
They're not here for us. We're here for them. That's what it's about. Kids.
Teaching Learning Leading K-12 is all about assisting classroom teachers and school administrators to overcome the many walls or barriers that kids face. Teaching Learning Leading K-12 is focused on helping you help kids achieve their dreams. As a note, I hope that you will stop by Stitcher or iTunes and leave me a star rating and a comment. That helps the show get noticed by more people. Thanks for listening and joining me week after week.
Welcome to the Teaching, Learning, Leading K-12 podcast, bringing you ideas and resources for K-12 classrooms, schools, and school districts. Hosted by Steve Mileto. And now, here's Steve with this week's show.
Today I'm talking with Mr. Del Johnson, who is the Director of Business Development with Infinity Systems. According to Infinity CEO Art Johnson, Infinity Systems is a management consulting firm that has worked with organizations of all kinds for over 20 years. He continues, Infinity focuses on identifying the performance level of an organization, looks at their goals and objectives, and helps put strategies in place so that the company can realize its goals and objectives. Additionally, Infinity Systems works with organizations to measure progress along the way. They help identify misalignment and give leaders actionable insights. Del successfully ran the College and Career Centers for Minneapolis Public Schools, leading to the implementation of district-wide career centers. He also has an extensive background in sales, real estate, and success working with school administration teams. Say hi to everyone, Del.
Hello, everybody. And Steve, thank you for allowing me to be on your show.
Oh, glad to have you. Glad to have you. Now, everyone, we got a nice brisk day here in South Georgia. It's 61 degrees out. The sun is shining. And Del's talking to me from Minneapolis. You got a little cooler weather, don't you?
Yeah, quite a bit, but not too bad. It's going to get up to about 60, so I think some of your warm weather is going to come my way, so I'm happy about that.
There you go. Nice. Very nice. Well, before we start talking about leadership and alignment and such, let's talk about you. You ran the College and Career Center for Minneapolis Public Schools, which led to bigger and better things. Tell us a little bit about that.
You know, Steve, that was probably the best job that I've ever had, and largely because it allowed me to combine my passion with purpose. And what better of a job could you have of working with youth of America and helping them figure out what they want to do when they grow up? So what that consisted of was really finding out what motivated them, finding out their purpose, and then aligning them with career type opportunities. And boy, we really got a chance to really do some really special things. A lot of nice internships came out of the program. Kids got great experiences. And because that was run and done so successfully, it led to the replication throughout the district.
That's awesome. Now, Minneapolis is a pretty good-sized school system, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
About up in the, 100,000 kids or somewhere in that range?
Yes, it's come down a little bit, but in that range, yes, and went right around 40 to 50 schools, too.
Nice, very nice. Well, that's excellent. Yeah, helping kids figure out their futures is an awesome way to get involved in their lives to help them. It's cool because you're helping to get them focused on the future. Very cool. I had the pleasure of hearing you and Art talk about Infinity Systems recently in Athens, Georgia. You introduced us to the 9 critical elements of the alignment model and orgometrics. Let's first talk about what alignment is and why an organization wants to be aligned.
Well, the reason why you want to be aligned is because you want to be able to maximize the human effort within your organization to realize educational outcomes. So if there's no such thing as a perfect organization, but we all can get better. And within the nine constructs that make up alignment, we start off with communication. And communication is crucial because that's the lifeblood of an organization. If people aren't effectively talking back and forth, nothing is getting done. All the opportunities are not flowing up or down or unilaterally across the organization. So it's the lifeblood. You have to have that. And obviously, as part of leadership, that's something that we want to measure. We want to assign a quantitative score to that. The next would be creativity, which is are we coming up with good ideas, new ideas? Does the organization feel like my ideas are being heard, and is there a repository for these ideas? Number three, best practices. What that speaks to is the humility of the organization. We don't have to have all the answers. We can look outside our organization and see if somebody else has done this a little bit better, and we can take and replicate what they've done. Also, development. Are we sharpening the saw? Do we have the adequate training to do our job appropriately and effectively? The next one would be accountability. And that is are we doing what we say we're doing? And not only am I not accountable to myself, but I'm accountable to all stakeholders, to the superintendent, the assistant superintendent, teachers, engineers, cooks, students, parents, everybody that's a part of our organization or has a level of involvement we need to be accountable to. So that's 360 degrees. Teamwork. How well are we working together? Are we getting things done collectively as a unit? Empowerment. Is my voice being heard? Do I feel like I'm making an adequate contribution to the organization? Because if I'm not empowered, then I'm basically being told what to do, and I'm not thriving. And interesting enough, empowerment and accountability tend to go hand in hand. And then last but not leadership. Are the leaders in the organization authentic? Are they adaptable? Are they accessible? And are they authentic? And as a leader of an organization, do I spend more time asking more questions or answering more questions? Because if I'm answering more questions, I've stifled all productivity and all effectiveness. And I'm basically the oracle of information. But if I ask you the question and get you thinking in a manner and saying, well, you come to me with a problem, and I say, well, you're closer to this. What three things would you think you would do? And then you pick these three things, and then I come back and say, well, why haven't you implemented those? You're closer to it than I am. Now I'm empowering you instead of telling you, go do this. And then that helps drive the empowerment, also drive the leadership throughout the organization.
Awesome. Let's talk a little bit about that model. With communication at the top and leadership and empowerment and teamwork down towards the middle to the bottom of the pyramid, tell me a little bit about, what types of things do you run into that are probably the most debilitating to an organization when you're trying to help them get aligned along these concepts?
Great question. It can range in a variety of different areas. It can start with the onboarding process, the hiring process, the training process. When you go to hire teachers, or if you want to go to hire administration, if you're not bringing them on board with ways that are consistent with the mission and vision of the organization, people are pretty savvy. They realize this, and that's opportunity. That's day one that they start kind of moving in a different direction from where you're trying to go as a leader of an organization. If I recognize you for things that I tell you to do, that's disingenuous, because now I can't hold you accountable. Really, I'm holding you accountable to what I said. And then when I go to reward you, I'm not rewarding you for your empowerment. I'm rewarding you for what I told you to do. Again, that makes that disingenuous and is an opportunity for staff to misalign. Also, the performance metrics within an organization. If I'm sitting down with you and I'm sharing with you the key performance metrics, but they don't line up with where we're going as a district, that's more opportunity for misalignment. And then last but not least, from a leadership standpoint and from a communication standpoint, if I passed on a message to my superintendent, and my superintendent does not convey the exact message that I've sent to principals. That happens all the time too. And right there, there's more opportunity for misalignment. Staff could be going in a different direction, and we're not achieving the results that we're looking for.
Do you think that kind of lends itself, and with, you know, aspects of it being out of whack, you know, it lends itself to people then having their own silos? There, this is my area. This is my stuff. I'm in charge of this stuff, and you know, this is my thing, and that's your thing, and you work over there, type of thing, and we don't work together. Does that make sense? Do you kind of see that if it's not aligned, that you see a little bit more of the fiefdom type mentality? This is mine.
Yes, there's definitely some of that gets created, and that speaks to culture, because a lot of times that's something that's kind of been there for a while and needs to be dealt with and addressed. And, you know, whether you're a new leader coming in or, you know, this is the way we've done it before. And I don't believe that this change that's trying to be implemented is really going to work. So therefore, I'm going to keep being in the silo type of effort or environment and continue to perpetuate that type of thinking. And so, yes, that can create that very easily.
So let's talk about, let's shift into from the alignment model and those elements. Let's talk about, you have a tool that's called Orgometrics, correct?
Yes.
And so can you explain Orgometrics just a little bit?
Absolutely. Orgometrics is a quantitative, it's a metrics-based quantitative tool that allows you to quickly point out the misalignments within an organization. So of those nine constructs that I shared, by taking this instrument and using it, you'll get a score in each of those areas and then be able to analyze and capture data that will allow you to make decisions. And from this instrument, we provide actionable results.
Before we go into it a little bit more, does the size of the school system matter when you're talking about being able to work with them and helping them be aligned and using the Orgometrics tool?
The size, I would say, I mean, you know, I've worked with some very, very small schools, from a charter school where sometimes the staff may only be like two or three. So obviously, wow, Something like that's not going to work.
Right.
But when you start talking schools that have, you know, 50 to 100 to 2,000 employees, absolutely it matters, because it's very easily for an employee or a staff member to get going in the opposite direction. And then what they'll do sometimes is they'll take others with them, and then now you've got that divide, if you will.
Gotcha. When you're working with, do you primarily work with the system as a whole first and then schools, or does it matter? Does the principal bring in, or is it the superintendent that brings you in?
We've done it both ways, but usually the superintendent brings us in, or maybe it's the chief of schools or the chief of staff. Somebody on that leadership team that brings us in that's working with this, because what they really, really, really want to know as a leader of an organization is, you know, if I say, let's take this hill, who's with me? And if you're not with me, why not? And that's what we're able to provide and really, really dig into the root reasons behind that.
And that's kind of what you're really talking about, right? Is that idea, I think that analogy that you just gave, the idea that, you know, if you say who's with me and you're going up the hill and you look behind you and there's nobody there, some people don't look behind them and they think that everybody's with them. And is that part of the aspect of what you're looking to kind of fit back together again, is to make that work? Is that kind of what we're talking about?
Absolutely. So the first thing we want to do is get a baseline read of the organization to find out why you're not taking that hill with me. Okay, well, the number of people that aren't taking the hill with me, why they're not taking it with me, and how can we rectify that? And then also, those that are with me, why are you with me? Because then we can use also what's working effectively and try to imbue that through the organization as well.
Excellent. So let's talk just a little bit about, so when you use this model, is how is it implemented into the setting first? I mean, you come in and do they take part in surveys, or I mean, how is it introduced to the school setting or system setting?
So after a superintendent or the leadership decides that they're ready, they want to launch Orgometrics, we will provide them with some messaging that they can send out to their staff, basically saying, hey, please take the time to complete this very, very short survey to help us maximize our productivity towards achieving our educational outcomes. This will go a long way in allowing us to do that. And I will highly, highly, highly recommend that that leader uses this data, because the staff is looking at this and they're saying, oh gosh, here we go. Here's another survey. He or she's not going to do anything with it. What's the purpose of this? You want to get some immediate lift right away is by showing that the data that's being used is being helpful to the organization. The results are that their voices are being heard and that they're being empowered, and that change is really coming. So what does this look like? We take a CSV file of all the employees' email addresses. We will push out to everybody an email link that will launch you into our survey, which is 100% anonymous. The questions are, there's only 21 questions. It takes about 9 minutes to complete. And once done, the data comes back to us, and then we have the results, and we're off and running.
Cool. And so what I want to do is take from that to go to this. So then once that is done, then do you have like coaches who come in and then work with the system to understand what the report says? And then to start trying to figure out where to start first, what to start on?
Absolutely. So that's the now what. You've provided this data. We come back in, we share the results, help interpret the results. And then we begin the next step process, because this is a journey. It's not something that just you snap your fingers and boom, we're aligned. Now we know where we are. It's that, you know, diagnosis, prognosis, then prescription. And we are action planning, you know, providing our recommendations on what should be implemented, working back and forth with you, the school district, in what should be done and prioritized. Then we're addressing those with solutions, and whether or not that's coaching, whether or not that's workshops, whether or not that's appropriate messaging to various teams, department heads, etc.
Excellent. I do have to say this, because one of the things that when I was listening to you guys talk originally, oftentimes in education we'll have people who want to push out surveys to everybody, and it's you know, and they'll say it's just a short survey, and instead it's like something that, you know, you might as well go get lunch and dinner, because you're going to be doing it for a while. Yours are not that way, and that's one of the things that I wanted to point out that I thought was pretty cool about it, because it really is something that gets a taste of what they're thinking. You're not going to get want to step out and get dinner and then come back and start over again type thing. And so it does speak to that, you can get it done. It's not going to overwhelm people, I guess, is my point.
Well, very good, Steve. I'd like to echo that if I could. It does only take 9 minutes, so there is no survey fatigue. You're absolutely right.
You have to be there, but I've been there a lot, you know, and you receive the email that says, it's just a short survey, and you're going, oh, yeah. And then you start into it, and you start going, well, you know, I think it's getting dark outside now, you know. cool. 9 minutes, nice. So let's kind of, in looking at all of this and listening to what you're talking about, why would a school superintendent want to work with Infinity Systems?
Well, just to kind of really, really, really be able to achieve their desired outcomes. And it's not as easy as just, well, here, fix these two, three things here, and we're off and running. A lot of the superintendents have had an eye-opening experience that we've worked with. They think that their messaging is really, really clear, because they've spent a lot of hard work on their strategic plan, in which they have, leadership has. And unfortunately, staff does not receive it or interpret it the way that it's been conveyed. So that's the eye-opening experience right there. You think that you said X and they're taking Y and they're totally going in a different direction, and that's mission critical right there. We all have to be on the same page in order to get what we're looking for. And that's the real eye-opening experience, and as a big part of it. And I'll give you another example is that working with one district, this superintendent found out that each of his schools had their own mission plan. So now if you've got your own mission plan, mission and vision, that's different from the district, how are you going to align? How are you going to get things done? And that's one example of where, you know, working with us will help, you know, ferret out these types of things. And also, you know, who some of the leaders are, the informal leaders within the schools, because sometimes they don't carry a title and they're kind of by the water cooler.
And, yes.
And they're actually, you know, the ones that can really carry messaging throughout the building very strongly. So we want to tap into who they are as well and be able to really drive the messaging that we're looking for. And then another example is, you know, a department may have been told that they're very important for their for the district to succeed. And then, unfortunately, they find out that they're underfunded, that there's not enough money to support what it is. Well, now they feel like they've been set up to fail because they don't have the money or resources to do what they need to do. And they've been, you know, highly told that they need, their department is needed. So now what does that individual do? Now what does that department do? So the degree to which we can get out in front of that on the front end, we can mitigate these types of circumstances and get us all flying in formation.
Excellent. You know, we're kind of coming in on the end of our time here, and one of the things I'd like to do is get into this. When do you know that you've made a difference? I mean, what signs or changes are you looking for?
Well, we're looking for more voices. We're looking for a positive culture. It's a feeling that you get when you walk into buildings. You can tell the ones that have really bought in and that where a change has occurred and where my voice is being heard and where we're moving in the right direction. So those would be some of the things right away that we would look for. Also, after survey results, you'll see better participation. You'll see better ideas. You'll see much more involvement because they know that because the steps that have been taken by leadership are sincere and genuine.
Excellent. So before we close, what else would you like to share about what Infinity Systems has to offer educational organizations?
You know, also the ability to benchmark against other organizations that are K-12, even higher ed and other organizations, so you can see how you're comparing on these same 9 constructs. And then also the ability to do predictive analysis. District that we've worked with, their orgometric score has increased, so along has their test scores. So whatever metric you're using to define your success, whether it's graduation rates, whether it's test scores, whether it's enrollment, those numbers should increase and also reflect the score that you receive from Orgometrics.
Excellent. And so now, before I get to 2 questions that I want to ask you that have nothing to do with your group, if a listener would like to reach out to you, what would be the best way? And just as a note, I'm also I'm going to put links in my show notes to your website and any other maybe like a few videos and stuff like this as well. So where would they, how would they reach out to you?
You know, I'm happy to give out my phone number or email. My phone number is 612-819-3940. And email is Del Johnson, D-E-L Johnson at ISIMETRICS.com. So Del Johnson at ISIMetrics.com. And long email, company is Infinity Systems, but ISI, that domain name was taken. So we had to do ISI, which stands for Infinity Systems Inc. Metrics.com.
Gotcha. Okay. Awesome. And I will put the phone number as well as Dell's email address in the show notes as well as a link to the website. Well, Dell, this is awesome. Now, I've got two questions for you that have nothing to do with any of your companies. So I'd like to ask you this. If you were given the chance to talk with 100 brand new teachers who haven't started teaching yet, what advice would you give them?
Well, I would tell them that you cannot put a price tag on the importance of your work and that you are on the front lines of molding and shaping our lives, of young lives of this generation that will be taking care of us. So I highly, highly support you and would want you to remember this for some of these very tough, challenging days that you will face, especially for some of the students that don't seem to get it right now. But know that down the road, it may even take some years for that light bulb to go off inside their head. But when they do, they'll come back and tell you thank you. And that feeling will be priceless.
Awesome advice. Awesome. Do you have a teacher in your past who made a difference in your life? If given a chance to say thank you, who would it be and what would you say?
Well, first and foremost, I was a student that struggled. I did not test well and had a learning disability, a little bit of dyslexia. And I had a third grade teacher named Nancy Moulton that worked very hard with me, and I was very appreciative of that. And after I graduated from college, I made the point to go back to her and tell her thank you, and still obviously thank her for this day for the work that she's done.
Awesome. Thank you so much for sharing. Dell, thank you for joining me today. Infinity Systems is quite a program to assist school systems in attaining their goals and objectives. I wish you all the best in all that you do. Take care.
Steve, thank you for your time. I appreciate being on your show.
You're welcome. Have a great day.
Hello, listeners. We want to remind everyone to check out all of our digital content at teachinglearningleadingk12.com. That's teachinglearningleadingk12.com. You can also find our podcast on iTunes. Just search Teaching, Learning, Leading K-12 in the iTunes store. Check back often for updates and new material.
Hang tight, everyone. I'm going to let go of the wall.
You have been listening to Teaching, Learning, Leading K-12. Recorded in Eastman, Georgia, at the heart of Georgia Precinct.
Hey, did you know that we're now available on Google Play Music? That's right. You can now find Teaching, Learning, Leading K-12 on Google Play Music. Check us out.